Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you and praise you for the mystery of your grace. For on the cross, Jesus, your Christ, bore all that separates us from you and from life. Yet sin and evil and suffering and death were unable to defeat him. By his glorious resurrection, you have delivered us from the power of death. Gracious God, make us die every day to sin. Birth us anew, so that we may walk in newness of life with Christ, in the joy of eternal life, and in the company of the Holy Spirit. O God, our Creator and Redeemer. Amen. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter said to them, "Truly God is not partial, but in every nation anyone who fears God and does what is right is acceptable to God. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, who is ruler of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Hear the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Psalter from Psalm 118.
We come here because of great joy. Christ has been raised from the dead, and we want to celebrate that joy, so we come today. We come with hope, because that resurrection gives us a new kind of hope for our future. But I think about those women coming to the tomb that early morning. I don't imagine they had a lot of hope or joy. In those jars with oils and spices that they had prepared to anoint this body, my guess is there was a lot of pain and fear, loss and despair. They had just lost this loved one who was so dear to them. I think we like to pretend that we come with hope and joy when actually we come with a lot of pain and fear, a lot of loss and failure, a lot of despair even. That's why we come. If we just had joy and wanted to have more joy, we wouldn't come to this day any more than any other day. But especially today, we bring all of our pain and all of our despairing because we really need hope and joy. We get all dressed up and look our best so that we look like we're all together. But we know we're not all together. Mostly our neighbors know we're not all together. None of us has it all together. We all have heartbreak. We all have disappointments and losses. We all have things that we struggle with, things that we despair over. Those women who came to the tomb know that they were mourning more than just a single death. They lived under Roman occupation. Jesus didn't just die accidentally. He was assassinated by the Roman occupation in order to terrorize the people. That has to have weighed heavy on them. They knew. If Rome is out for Jesus, he's out for Jesus' friends. And they were right. And before long, followers of Jesus would start to get crucified by the thousands. And we too have lots of things that we mourn and things that we despair over. Things that we not only think are bad, but wonder if they will ever get better in our lifetime. Sincere despair over climate change. And the world choking on plastic in the oceans and the collapse of the food chain because of the death of bees, because of pesticides and habitat loss and pollution. We despair over things in our own lives, our own sins and brokenness and bad habits and addictions and attachments and the faulty, failing nature of our faith. Sometimes we feel the same way. We feel like it's just never going to get better. When you think about the sin of racism in our culture, you think, well, might not go away in my lifetime. And we think about the things in our own lives and we think, that might not change in my lifetime either. There's a note of despair. That's what we bring on Easter morning. The stuff that we struggle with that we're not sure is worth it. The health diagnosis that we're not sure is going to get any better. The relationship that's just not healing. The community that doesn't know how to come together. The world that just doesn't look like it's ever going to not be broken. That's what we bring in our jars of anointing oil on Easter morning. All that crap. Because that's where resurrection happens. Resurrection doesn't happen on victory laps. Doesn't happen at the party. It happens at the funeral. Doesn't happen among everybody who's rich and powerful and famous and happy. It happens among those who are poor and destitute and worried. That's where resurrection happens. Because all those negative things, all those voices that say no to life, that's where God works God's own special, graceful magic. And to every single one of those no's says yes. Resurrection doesn't mean there's going to be a happy ending. Did not turn out well for Jesus. Didn't turn out well for his disciples. Resurrection doesn't mean that your illness is going to get better, that your loved one is going to live, that everything's going to turn out all right. What resurrection means is that God is at work, and that to every no that you struggle with, God says yes. And God always gets the last word. Rome tried. They thought they had it. And they lost. I said this before, 2,000 years later, Jesus is still alive and the Roman Empire is gone. Jesus is still alive, giving us life, and Caesar got a salad dressing named after him. God always has the last word, and God's word is always yes, always life, always goodness, no matter what the darkness is that we struggle with. Emma was a woman to whom family meant everything. She came from a big family. She had five siblings, and they were the world to her. She grew up, got married, had a couple of boys, and her family was the world to her. And then it all started to fall apart. One by one, four of her five siblings died young of various causes. Her husband left her. And this woman who had had this big, loving, wonderful family suddenly was reduced to being a single mom with two kids and not much in the way of family anymore. And then the older son was hit by a drunk driver on his bicycle and he was killed. And the people in Emma's church could just see her crumple. They could see how that ate her insides. But at his funeral, she stood up, as she had at her brothers and sisters' funerals, and said, "The devil has thrown his worst at me, but God isn't finished yet." And she went home and put her life into that second son. He was on the spectrum. He needed a little extra attention. She was poor and poorly educated. She was always working a couple of part-time jobs so that she could be there for her son. And she was. She was there for him. She was his rock. And she believed in him. And she poured her love into that one kid that was the left, the only thing left of her whole family. And then he was caught up in a drive-by shooting, wrong place at the wrong time. And her last only son was killed. And at his funeral, the church could see how completely emptied out she was. But she stood up and she said, "The devil has thrown his worst at me, but God isn't finished yet." And then this woman who had no family went out and started befriending every young person she could meet. She had a special eye for kids at risk, kids who were lonely, struggling. She befriended every kid of every single mom in her church, in her neighborhood. Everybody that she could tell was struggling. And she took them in and mentored them and loved them and taught them and helped their parents. She became a second mama for a lot of them. And she did that for years, pouring her love into that community. When Emma died, the pastor at her funeral, who knew her really well, at one point invited her family to stand. People in the congregation sort of winced a little because they knew. There was no family left. Her one living sister from out of town stood up all by herself. And there was this awful silence in the church. And then this kid stood up. And another one. And another one. And another one. Until about 45 people were standing. Some of them grown and married with kids. Because they knew, "She's my mama." This woman from whom everything that meant everything to her had been taken away ended up with a greater family than you could ever imagine. And at the end of that funeral, the pastor invited the congregation to give the benediction, Emma's blessing. And they all knew what to say. "The devil has thrown its worst at me, but God is not finished yet." Resurrection doesn't mean the afterlife. There is one. I trust it. It's good. But resurrection means that right now, whatever you struggle with, whatever darkness you have to walk through, whatever terrible no is being said to you, God is at work saying yes. And God always gets the last word. And God's word is always life. It's always love. And the word that is life, that is God's, cannot be taken away. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Trust that. Will you pray with me? God, for the miracle of the resurrection of Christ, and for the way that miracle echoes in our own lives, we give you thanks. We pray for the faith to trust, so that we might love fearlessly, forgive boldly, serve humbly, and live joyfully. We thank you that your word is always yes, and you always get the last word. God, we pray that we might live by the spirit of your resurrection. So we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.